Hi everyone, welcome to this edition of IVMA's Vet Chat. I'm Lisa Purius, Executive Director of the IVMA, and it's my pleasure to be here with you. Vet Chat works to offer our listeners a sampling of the issues, opportunities, and people impacting veterinary medicine. Today's topic explores wellness in the veterinary world, and I am very happy to welcome our friend and guest, Dr. Heidi Hulon. Heidi is the well-being consulting veterinarian for Elanco Animal Health, and she brings a wealth of experience and training to this important topic. Welcome, Heidi.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. I think the conversation today is important because it focuses on the training you've gone through in the wellness space, how you use it in your job, and what does that look like kind of out in the field. So tell us a little bit about yourself and the wellness training you've been through.
Happy to do so. So I'm the poster child for all of this. I've been practicing for 30 years, so yep. Been there, done that, sometimes well, sometimes unwell. And I graduated from Auburn undergrad and vet school and have been in small animal practice. I've done shelter medicine, ran a vet tech program, also worked for Hills, you know, now have been with the Elanco for almost 13 years yeah. and still try to do relief work when I can because I love practicing veterinary medicine. I love surgery.
It's and great to keep your skills up.
It is. Yeah. And, yeah. you know, this for me and like so many other veterinarians, I've wanted to do this since I was three. This yeah. is my purpose, yep. I believe, on this earth. Now, at three, if you had told me, hey, your job is going to be going around speaking to people, I would have said no. And if you had told me that in vet school, I would have cried and said, why are you punishing me? You know, I want to deal with animals, you know, not the people.
But the evolution of a career.
Absolutely. And you realize, oh my gosh, veterinary medicine is a people profession. Yep. And sometimes that's the good and that's the, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly yeah. of what's going on with us. And the evolution of this was in 2019, December of 19, my other role within Elanco was, well, it didn't exist anymore, mm-hmm. the group. And so my boss was like, well, what do you want to do? And I had been working with some of our bigger accounts with kind of beyond product value. And one of the requests that I was getting was, were twofold, communication yep. and then compassion fatigue. Mm-hmm. And so this was like 2019. And so when I remember I was actually sitting in this hotel in December of 2019 and had this idea of, all right, let's focus on wellness, on well-being. I think there's something to this. You know, we've been seeing the reports about mental health mm-hmm. coming out.
Mm-hmm. And there had been studies.
Studies, and it was, uh-huh. it was coming to the forefront of the profession. Before mm-hmm. that, it was like, shh, don't talk about
yep.
it.
Yep.
You know, nobody
yep.
wanted to acknowledge that. And so I created what's called the Veterinary Series, trying to put better back in veterinary medicine. And then 2020 hit, and right time, right place, right idea, mm-hmm. it kind of blew up into now, you know, this series of lectures and trainings that
the
really,
need was really there.
It
then.
Was. Yeah. And, well, the need has always been there, but the ask, the uh-huh. the willingness to ask for and accept and implement help, mm-hmm. I don't think was there before like it is now.
Yeah. So tell us about the role at Elanco. So, like, what does your week look like? Tell us what that. I know you travel a lot.
Yeah. So
have
my
to talk
week
to people.
Yeah, just like in veterinary medicine, you know, no 2 weeks are exactly the
yep.
same.
Yep.
It really varies. But a lot of what I do are virtual presentations, mm-hmm. lunch and learns on various topics. So it could be something around empathetic exhaustion or resiliency or well-being. It could be around communication. And then I've also started a couple years ago, I got trained in mental health first aid. And so that's also another certification that I'll do training in, Insights Discovery, or there's Insights Explore. I just got certified in canine colors. So a lot of these, I would say, personal development trainings, information workshops are what I offer in my role as the well-being consulting veterinarian.
So you ticked off some of the training background that you've had, obviously in addition to your DVM degree. Talk a little bit about the one that always piques my interest is empathetic exhaustion.
Yes.
So what Tell me more about that.
So what we typically hear is compassion fatigue. And so I'm certified in compassion fatigue. But doing all my research, and I'm also certified in positive psychology, is that it's not really compassion that we get fatigued from. Uh-huh. Compassion is the antidote to all of that. So if we look at basic science, empathy is this, it's a genetic component. So some people are born with the gene to make you more empathetic, mm-hmm. release more oxytocin. I think, you know, and maybe you know, I definitely have that dominant empathy, empathy gene. But that
very prevalent,
in that, yeah. Because empathy is the capacity to see things from another's point of view and feel what that person is feeling, both in the positive and in the negative. Mm-hmm. In veterinary medicine, we see a lot of negative. I mean, that's just inherent in what we do. We're trained to take care of animals that are in dire situations. You know, they're sick, they're injured, they may be dying.
Sure. Yep.
Now, we can fix, we can, you know, make them better in a lot of cases, but seeing that owner's pain, it does affect us. We take that on, and there's a lot of biological reasons for that. Empathy, in short, is what I get from you. It's the emotions that I get from you. Uh-huh. And when they become my own, that's when it becomes exhausting. I get weighed down by all those negative emotions because I don't grieve them. I don't let them go. They become my own, and I kind of suffer the consequences. It's called the cost of caring. It's the price I pay to help others.
Yeah.
Versus compassion. Empathy starts our relationship, and then it can evolve into empathetic concern or compassion. So compassion, on the other hand, is the deep awareness of the suffering of another coupled with the desire to relieve it. And I also add the ability, which is what we have in veterinary medicine. I recognize the suffering, real or perceived. I recognize that, but I also know how to make that better mm-hmm. for the pet and for the owner. So compassion is action-oriented. Empathy triggers the pain center in my brain. Because if I take on that pain and I acknowledge it and I feel it is mine, I hurt mentally, emotionally, maybe even physically. Compassion, on the other hand, triggers the reward center in our brain.
Yeah.
So I feel elevated. I feel energized by helping you, and you also get the benefit of my compassion. Compassion communicates competence.
Yeah.
And it is the antidote to all of the burnout, the empathetic distress, the moral and ethical issues that we have. And one other thing about compassion that's really important is that where there is high compassion in a practice, there's low burnout.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it feeds into the culture.
It
of
does.
The clinic, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And most people think it's the opposite, that if I yeah. have to expend the energy to be compassionate and to show that I care to this owner, it's only going to exhaust me and drain me. It's actually the opposite.
Yeah.
It's that empathy, right? If I feel what you're feeling and I acknowledge it as mine, not differentiate it, yes, you will be exhausted. But that compassion saying, I know I can help you, I want to help you, I'm able to help you, feeds into that success and that compassion, satisfaction, that reward center.
The results.
The results
yeah.
are there.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a great explanation of empathetic exhaustion. I always learn something from you, so thank you for that. So tell me more about mental health first aid. Mm. What does that look like?
Oh, wow. So we have a lot of mental health issues in veterinary medicine. Mm-hmm. I think that they've been there a lot, but again, it's one of those things that kind of still has a stigma mm-hmm. behind it. So we don't want to talk about it. A little bit like empathetic exhaustion, that I'm a trained professional. I'm supposed to be able to deal with this. And yeah. if I can't, what's wrong with me? Will it mm-hmm. alter how people perceive me, how mm-hmm. they respect me? Am I truly capable of doing my job, rather than understanding, you know, empathy makes me good at my job. Mm-hmm. When I don't have boundaries, same thing for mental health, I can be as at risk of doing my job.
Sure.
Because of what we see and what we do. It's just yeah. inherent in our profession. So mental health, it can come out of the fact that we don't feed our brain in a positive way. So when we don't have all this positivity, when we don't seek out the good in our job, we are constantly being fed by cortisol. And we all know that cortisol, you know, over yes. the long term, does not do anything good for us.
Correct.
And we basically are just in survival mode.
Yeah.
we don't get to thrive. We actually shut down our higher order brain that allows us to have rational thought and to solve problems and to be creative, to have self-regulation. Mm-hmm. So we starve our brain, and that negative impact can lead to depression, anxiety. So mental health is a big part. I think it needs to be intrinsic within our profession. Just as we get training in radiology and all that, we need to learn how to take care of the human side. Mm-hmm. And so what I am trained in is mental health first aid, which is a certification that helps people learn how to recognize the signs and symptoms of someone having a mental health challenge or crisis. It doesn't make you a psychologist or a therapist, but you are that first aid, kind of like CPR mm-hmm. or QPR. Mm-hmm. Hey, Lisa, I've known you're noticed you're not yourself. You know, what's going on? Is there anything I can do? Share with me what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, and my learning how to listen and then offer hope. Mm-hmm. I don't have to give answers, but just to be hope and to offer professional help or just
resources,
it's giving people the confidence, one, to recognize that,
sure,
to say something, because we're always uncomfortable as, ooh, what if I say the wrong thing? Mm-hmm. I don't want to offend you. What if it's not mental health? Yeah, but something's going on.
Something is.
A kind shoulder goes a long way. Yep. And then being able to say, here are the resources, and I'm going to support you in your journey to get help.
Yeah,
that's the big part of mental health. And I truly believe that somebody, at least one person in every practice, should have some type of mental health training. Because the death, I mean, we deal with death, life and death, every single day. It impacts you.
It becomes maybe no different in some ways than CPR training or QPR training, like you mentioned earlier, to prevent, you know. Identify suicide risk or whatever.
100%. Asking that difficult question can actually be a life-saving question. And we have to ask the difficult questions of our owners about our patients. We need to be able to ask those difficult questions about our colleagues and our team members.
And our teammates, so what has been your experience in delivering this training to teams literally all over the world? I think you've been all over the world doing this. What's been the takeaways that you've...
Big takeaway is that this is veterinary medicine. This is an issues within just the profession. It's not limited to the United States or, you know, England or Australia or Europe. Wherever there are veterinarians or veterinary team members, there are these issues.
So we're not alone.
We are not alone. Yeah. And that's helpful.
Sure.
We can understand that common humanity. Uh-huh. And that hopefully can get rid of that stigma of being afraid to ask for help, mm-hmm. to be able to reach out and say, hey, this is really getting to me. And going back to what we mentioned earlier is that we are a profession of highly empathetic, caring people. Mm-hmm. It makes us good at our job to care about and to care for others. But we have to set boundaries for ourselves. We have to practice self-care, you know, put our own mask on before assisting others.
Yeah.
And that's really that thing is learning that it's okay to not be okay, to ask for help, and to be willing to offer help to each other. And the help could just be something as simple as listening, being there for somebody else.
You don't have to have the answers.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You may not have the answers, but the ability to communicate with each other is huge.
Show you care.
Yeah. Yeah. So to wrap up, what would be a takeaway that you'd share with the listener today?
I'm going to say practice on yourself. Write yourself a prescription for your own self-care, for your own well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Unlimited refills, right? You can do it as often as you want. I hope you do at least one thing for yourself every single day.
There's okay to start small. You know, we talk about creating habits, right?
It is. And I say we all should have a daily dose. Uh-huh. So dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins. Do things that make you happy, because being happy, even in little ways, fuels that brain, that dopamine. And it really does energize us and elevate us. And positive emotions, so we're negative, but they're contagious. So we can spread the joy of veterinary medicine to others. But if we can go back and find that simple pleasure in, you know, puppy breath or just that client that did say thank you, gratitude, our own skill set, we'll be able to to burn bright and not burn out in this profession.
Yeah.
So I would have to say the practice of self-care, that ethical imperative, not put a stigma around that and make it a standard of care for us in the profession.
That's great. Great advice. We will leave it there. Thank you so much, my friend, for sharing your wisdom with us today. Thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode. Thanks.